Greetings, radio friends. Once again, we have the glorious privilege of coming your way in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and may the blessings of our God rest upon you abundantly. May you have a wonderful day in the Lord. This program is sponsored and paid for by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic Faith located on the Waldarney Road in Lenoir, North Carolina. We hold services each Sunday, the Sunday School 9:30 morning worship service, 10:30 evening message at 6 o'clock during the winter months, and we invite you to attend and worship with us. You'll receive a cordial welcome at all times. If God was going to save the world by the gifts of the Spirit, then why preaching? Gifts of the Spirit are gifts given to those who, after hearing the preaching of the Word of God, believe, receive, and put their faith and hope in it, accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. How can we know the Spirit except we learn it by the Word? It pleased God, the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We pick up our Bibles, we read, study, and we hold it in high esteem. We many times find most of us believe this is the infallible Word of God, and we feel in our very innermost self the power of this Word of God. We do so rightly, or have you ever heard of anyone receiving the Spirit who first had not heard the Word? How do we receive the Spirit? Can we have the gifts of the Spirit before we hear the Gospel? On the day of Pentecost, Peter preaching said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now note, they were to receive the Holy Ghost as a gift after repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We find those in Acts 19 who Paul dealt with in the first part of the chapter had heard the gospel, been baptized in the name of John's baptism, but had not received the Holy Spirit. And Paul prayed for them, laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Paul gives the order of it all in Ephesians 1 and 13. He says, "In whom, speaking of Christ, ye also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Note the order in both Acts and in Ephesians is that you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and it points you to Christ. And in him we believe, and then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Going to Romans, we find Paul using the same order of things, Romans 10 and 8. "What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Note, the word of faith is first preached. Secondly, the person converted confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, believes in his heart that God raised Christ from the dead, giving us a hope of living hereafter. Then he makes a statement, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then he asks us this question, "How then shall they call in him, on him in whom they have not believed?" If you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, how can you call on him? "How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" And how shall they believe in one? He's wanting to know if they haven't heard of him. And how are they going to hear? And Paul's just giving us a simple analysis here. How shall they hear without a preacher? Then he broadens the whole concept of preaching and asks, how shall they preach except they be sent? If preaching of the word is not important, then why does he say in the 17th verse, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Can a man have any of the gifts of the Spirit if he doesn't have the faith once delivered to the saints? Have you ever tried to build a house, starting laying the floor joists and subfloor 3 foot high in the air without any foundation or props? It would certainly fall down. It would be as bad as to build on the sand. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God as given in the preaching of His Word of Truth is contrary to the Spirit of God and is of the opposing spirit of God. And it's always opposing God and His Spirit. Why did not our Lord commission His disciples? "Go ye into all the world, give all the gifts of the Spirit to every creature." Because the gifts of the Spirit do not come until people first believe the gospel and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. To show the importance of the word and preaching of it, Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Paul, to Timothy in the 6th chapter, 1 Timothy, he says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing." To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ means you must be in agreement with and consent to the wholesome words that he has spoken. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, "Hold fast the form of the sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:23 said, "We preach Christ crucified." And certainly the gospel is good tidings. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:1 gives us the good tidings and good news. He said, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." Can any man have the gifts of the Spirit who does not believe that Christ died for his sins, that Christ was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures? Paul says this is the gospel in a nutshell. Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no truth in them." To Titus, Paul wrote in Titus 1:3, "But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God." He says this very openly. We're running into a number of things here. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We are to trust in the gospel of our salvation before we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We are to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and then receive the gift of the Spirit. Paul in his charge to Timothy said in 2 Timothy 4:1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." The emphasis is on preach the word. What word? By the word of the gospel, the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus are preached, "Thus saith the Lord." The word of truth that brings faith of God to mankind. Paul, in his discourse with arguments in favor of the true gospel and its importance, said in Galatians 1:8-9, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And he emphasized it by going into the 9th verse. He said, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." The other gospel, according to verse 7, is not another, but there be some, he said, that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, overturn or turn away the gospel of Christ by substitution of something similar, but a confession different than that from the truth. What saith the Scriptures is important. Luke 24:46, "And he said unto them," Jesus speaking, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Let us note that the importance of preaching has reached an enormous requirement of one's being saved if they believe. Would God send an apostle in the church who did not believe the truth, a teacher or a prophet who did not understand the truth? We know he would not. By the same token, I ask you, would he give the gifts of the Holy Ghost to anyone who had not received the gospel of truth? Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now this application can be made to anyone in all of time and space who meets the qualifications listed here. It can apply to me or any other minister who cries out, "Lord, Lord," or any man, any woman who casts out devils in his name and who does many wonderful works in his name. Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, "There shall arise false Christs, false prophets. They shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Great signs and wonders do not necessarily mean that it is of the true gospel, the real thing, pleasing to God. There are going to be many false prophets arise and deceive many, Jesus said. The name false prophet can be applied to me or any other man if we happen to be false in our teaching and preaching. The idea of false prophets showing great signs and wonders can be applied to me or any other minister who can show these great signs and wonders if they do it in deception, contrary to the word of God. The same shoe will fit every one of us, the same application made to all God's no respect of persons. How can we know, then, which is truth, who has the Spirit of God? Shouting and praising God over and over does not make one a Christian, but believing the Word of God, accepting Christ, does. Jesus said in John 8:31, "If ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed." Jesus puts emphasis on the words of the Scriptures, the inspired Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. John 15:7, he said, "If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." John 14:23, "If a man love me, he will keep my word." Jesus said to his Father, "For his disciples, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "We're bound to give thanks to God for you always, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because the Lord hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit," one Spirit, notice that, "and belief of the truth," to be a recipient of the Holy Spirit, to be sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one must receive first the truth of the gospel. We can go off into the tangents of many spiritual experiences, but unless they are in harmony and consistent with "Thus saith the Lord," unless it's in the consummation of God's purpose, we might find ourselves being vain. This is why at Berea, the people were called Bereans. And the reason they were called Bereans is because they searched the Scriptures to see if the things that were spoke to them by the prophets were true. 3 John, the 4th verse, the aged apostle speaks and he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Why not say, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the gifts of the Spirit"? Today we're seeing a great revival of many gifts of the Spirit, so called. And it is claimed that many of these are able to do all kinds of great things, and many people are mystified by it. And yet, we need to come back and realize and make the test and try that John told us to make and see if this is of God. The gifts of the Spirit are to come upon the foundation of the truth. John 4:24, Jesus said, "God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." To worship God in spirit without the truth would not be permissible in the sight of God. To worship God in spirit and in error is not permissible. To worship God in the truth without any spirit would not be correct. The only way to worship God is to worship God in spirit and in truth. That is a must. He says he must worship God in spirit and in truth. From these observations, we are convinced that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God and is the absolute truth, that in order to be blessed with the gifts of the Spirit, one must hear, receive, and believe this gospel, pointing them to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And as they receive Him and are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, then they may have the gifts of the Spirit. After all, Jesus said, "He that believeth not shall be damned." We believe we should make our hope rest in "Thus saith the Lord." The Word of God reveals to us what God desires of us, revelation about God's salvation and any subject that we want to think about. It is important, then, that we know His revelation. We thank you for listening. May God bless you, and we invite you to join us in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for the Word of God that is quick and powerful, that gives us inspiration, that lifts us up, that provides for us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen.